It was the year 1961. It was the month of August, and it was the last day of the month, August 31st, 1961. A wall was constructed with astounding speed from prefabricated blocks of concrete. And finally, on that day, it was finished. It was a wall that no one could get over or get around. Only by special permit could you go around that wall. And the purpose of the wall that was finished on August the 31st, 1961, was to separate from the east from the west of Berlin. It was the Berlin Wall. There were only seven crosses in that wall that you could go through, and you could only go through after you obtaining permission. It was a wall that separated the east from the west. They called the wall an illegal, brutal, callous wall. But when the wall was constructed, they said the words would never tear it down. It had been built to stay. But on November the 8th and the 9th, 1989, the walls came down.
Amen.
They said it never happened. The wall came down. Well, listen, church. All of us have walls in our lives that keep us from being where God wants us to be. And many may say the walls can't come down. I'm going to tell you this morning that with God, any wall can come down. And that wall that builds up keeps us from the blessings of God. That wall that is built up in our lives keeps us from the benefits of God. And God wants us on the second Sunday of this new year to tear down that wall, that He may have complete fellowship with you and me.
Amen, brother.
The wall must come down. You say, what kind of wall is it? Well, some of you got a wall of pride built up. You think a little bit more of yourself than what you are. Can I remind you, I don't care how pretty you look on the outside today, you're nothing but a sinner on the inside, and Jesus came to save us sinners. And so you need to get rid of that pride. You think you're going to live in a bigger mansion when you get to heaven than I am. No, no, no. God's no respecter of person. Do you realize our mansions will all be the same? Because we're not going there to see our mansions anyway. Hallelujah, we're going there to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, you need to get rid of that pride. Some of those arrogant, self-righteous folks are sitting on church pew that are damning folks to hell because of the way they think they're better than everybody else.
Man, brother. Good preacher.
You say, oh, I don't like that. Look, the truth is true. You were born the same way I was. Male or female, you were all born naked when you were born.
Amen.
You know what? And we're all in need of forgiveness. But there's one truth of the matter. There is not but one God. Hey. And through Jesus Christ is how forgiveness comes.
Hey. Come on, brother. Amen.
All pride. Strut around all you want to. God may knock the strut out of you. Remind you of where you came from. You know what amazes me? You take an old drunk sometime and Jesus saves their soul and takes the alcohol out of their head and people begin to brag on them and pat them on the back on how good they've done, how great they are, and all of a sudden that person began to think more of themselves than they do Jesus. Can I remind you, it matters not who you are, you still need Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, don't forget where you came from. I know where I came from. I was born on a farm. I was born. My dad was in textiles and my dad was in farming, and I know where I came from, but I've got news for you. I know where I came from, but because of Jesus, bless God, I know where I'm going.
Hey, hey,
hallelujah.
Come on.
And so the wall needs to come down. There's the wall of pride. Well, there's also that wall of power. Some folks live to have power. I just It's got to be I got to be more powerful than they are. You are absolutely nothing, and Jesus is everything.
Amen, brother.
I don't know why you want power. I don't. The church is not about who's in control and who's charged. I've got news for you. That's already been settled. Jesus Christ is in control and in charge.
Amen.
And so we battle that. We battle the wall of unfaithfulness. We show up just whenever we want to, and that wall, the worldly wall, has built up, and other things are more important. Can I remind you of something? There is absolutely nothing more important than for a child of God to be where the worship of God is taking place.
Amen.
Got to tear them walls down. Take them walls down. Block by block. You know, it's easy to hide behind the wall. No, I'm back here. I'm a member of the church, but I'm behind this wall. You'll never enjoy the blessings of God until you tear down the wall.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It must be brought down. Joshua. Remember the old story? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua had the same challenge. He was trying to claim everything the Lord had promised them. You know, now listen to me, church, listen. What bothers me is those of you that are Christians who don't want everything God's got for you. You know what I want? I want everything God's got for me. And if you're not going to get your part, He won't spare. I want Him to give me your part His way.
Amen, brother.
Joshua just wanted everything. He said, Lord, I want it all. Just dump the whole wagon on me. I want all your goodness, and I want your grace, and I want all your blessings. And he was trying his best. And I stand up here today as the pastor of this church, and I'll tell you this. I pray, it's my prayer, and I ask God, you may not believe this, and you may not feel this way, but I pray that God will pour out everything He has for this church on this church.
Amen.
And Joshua wanted to defend. And he had faced some large challenges. You remember God had opened up the Jordan River? That was a major obstacle that he couldn't get through. God opened that river. Don't tell me that God can't move water if God wants to move water.
Amen.
He opened up that river. He had been able to bring the Israelites through some important services, the rite of the circumcision, and through the celebration of the Passover, and even the eating of the produce of Canaan. And now Joshua had them on the move. And he faces another obstacle, and it's a great, big, old wall. It's a wall. It's a wall that surrounds the city. A wall that he knows is large. Well, you remember he sent out spies to view it, and they came back and said, the wall reaches all the way to the sky. It's a gigantic wall, Joshua. I don't know how we're going to get into that city. It was 90 feet high, 30 feet thick, went around 320-acre area. It was the Jericho Wall. But listen to me very carefully. Listen. Any wall can come down if God wants that wall down.
Amen.
And I want us, you and I, to go to work this morning, and we're going to work the next few Sundays. There is a procedure for whacking away the wall in your life. And I want us to begin this morning, and I want us to look at a three-part series on whacking away the wall. Now listen, it's just like a good movie. You come to the start of the movie, you come back the next week in the middle of the movie, and you come back the next Sunday for the last of the movie. If you only come from the start, you might not know how it finishes. So look at what he said. Now most people think the story starts in chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, but it doesn't. The story starts in chapter 5. And there is a preparation of self that is involved in whacking away the walls. had to prepare himself. Now listen to me, now stay with me. If we're going to tear down whatever's hindering us to getting where God's at, we've got to recognize that it takes some self-effort on our part. Now look at with me at chapter 5, verse 13. Now let's look at a few key words that's about just appetite for this morning. Look what he said. And it came to pass, when Joshua had been blessed of all these things and led the children of Israel all the way up, and now they wanted to go into the city, and they couldn't get to the city. When Joshua was by Jericho, the place. Now the place was a short distance from Gilgal. Its perimeter of rough brown walls protected by huge gateways, now barred and bolted, made it to look like it was an impossible city to get to. You couldn't even see the city. And when you looked at it, you said, there's no hope. We can't get into that city. Now your wall in your life may be like a place like Jericho where you say, hey, the wall is just too big, preacher, right? And the wall is too wide and it's too thin. I just can't get the wall down. Let me tell you, church, any wall can come down with the power of God taking it down.
Hallelujah.
It's like a druggie who says, I can't overcome. Bless God, with God, you can overcome. It's like the alcoholic who says, I can't do this. I'll tell you one thing, within yourself, you can't do it. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
It's one of those who says, well, I have a problem. I just can't seem to get rid of this pride. I look down my nose at other folks. Well, with God's help, he can humble you down so low that you have to look up.
Amen.
So when they got to that place, look at the perplexity. When he got there, he didn't have any battling rams to assault the city. He didn't have any engines of war to scale the walls. He didn't have all that stuff. Excuse me. His warriors knew nothing of long sieges in the battle. So how was he going to be able to go into that walled city full of armed warriors and win the battle? Here's what was happening. I could see Joshua as he paced that desert sand. You could see where those sandals and the little puff of dust was coming up as he was trying his very best to figure out how in the world was he going to lead them into that land that had been promised. And I'm watching him. It's very much like us. When problems come in our life, we don't know what to do. We walk the floor. We twiddle our thumbs and we just in great anticipation. We don't know what to do. That's exactly how Joshua felt. He didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what was going to do. Perplexity had come. But you know what? The amazing thing is that help came in the form of a man.
Amen.
You know something? The personal preparation always involves a man. Now let's think about it. The man's appearing. Isn't it amazing? He lifted up his eyes and he looked and he said, there stands a man over against him. In the middle of his perplexity, God sees somebody. Now, church, listen very clearly. Listen, don't miss this. This is very vital if you want to know about the wall coming down. It started right here. It says that he lifted up his eyes. Joshua looked up. He saw a man. If he had kept looking at the ground, he would have never seen a man. You know what we do? We walk looking down all the time. We look like we have no hope and no help and there's no happiness and we're so depressed and we're so deprived and we don't have anything. Can I tell you, church, what we've got to do is get our eyes off the ground and look up. God
You just gotta look for it.
Thank you.
You know what? I just don't see God doing anything. Look up! People in our church, well, I just don't see God really doing anything. Get your eyes off the ground, and it may surprise you what you see God is doing. Look up. Lift up your eyes. Get out of that depression. Get out of that discouragement. Get out of that dismay. And realize, hallelujah, a deliverer has come. Notice something about it. He appeared suddenly. There stood a man. It was not a vision. It was not a figment of his imagination. It was an appearance of an actual man. With an angel. No, no, no. You say, how do you know an angel? Angels won't let you worship them. And later on, Joshua fell on his face and worshiped to this man. You say, well, if it wasn't an angel, who was it? I'll tell you who it was. It was God manifesting himself in the form of a man. God showed up.
Amen.
When there's financial problems, guess what? God will show up. When there's emotional problems, God will show up. When there's those walls that you can't get over, hallelujah, God will always show up.
Amen.
God will show up. He appeared suddenly. Was he invited?
No. Nobody invited him to come.
I like it when God shows up and nobody's invited.
Right.
And you ought to so live your lives that if God decided to show up suddenly, it ain't going to bother you because you're ready for him coming in.
Amen.
The man showed up suddenly. He appeared seriously. It says that he had a sword in his hand. Now, listen, back up a moment. Joshua lifted up his eyes. He saw a man. Now here's what I like. There stood a man. And the man was in the far distance. No, no, no. It said the man stood against him.
You know where God's at right now?
Right here. You know where God's at right now in your life? Right beside.
Yeah.
Where is God? I'll tell you where God's at. God is right beside you. You just haven't looked for him.
Amen.
God is. Scott Cobb's a dear friend of mine. Scott went into ministry under my pastoring. His wife has been very sick. You know that. His son has been into drugs and stole just about everything they had, mocked out their bank accounts, and took from them to support his habit. Scott's had a hard time, remained faithful to the Lord and pastor it. And I walked in yesterday, and his wife, they've got her on liquid morphine every hour. And she woke up long enough to talk to me. And I sat down, she said, sit down, Preacher Ron, beside me. And I sat down beside that bed, and she took my hand. And she said, you know what? It's the wrong time of me leaving. It's coming. But she said, you know what stands out in my mind? For years, she said, you stood and preached to us that when you got close to the river of death, we wouldn't be alone. She said, do you still feel that way? And I said, Rhonda, hon, I said, I feel more like that today than I've ever had. When you close your eyes down here, step out into that water that we call death, God's going to be stepping out with you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know something?
Thank you, Lord.
You know what's good? He wasn't standing way off in the corner somewhere. He was standing right beside Joshua.
Amen.
Where is your God? Is he off somewhere in the sky? If it is, because you put something between you and him, because God don't want to be way up there. God wants to be where you're at.
Amen.
I was talking to her about what was coming. Scott come in and sat down, started to say with me, said, well, Ron said she wants you to do the service or service. And she spoke up and here's what she said. She said, Scott, me and Preacher Ron's got this. We don't need your help. How about going back in the other room? She said, because guess what? When that time comes, I won't be here anyway. Thank goodness that God is not a God that we can't touch.
Amen.
He's right beside us.
Amen, brother.
He appeared suddenly. He appeared seriously. He had a sword drawn in his hand. Now, this man was ready to fight. He was ready to do battle. You know what's good? Let the enemy come against you. And let God do your fighting for you. I've discovered that when people want to be mean and callous and hateful, the best thing for you to do is say, God, why don't you sick them? I'm going to stand here and watch. Had a sword drawn in his hand. Our Lord has never said, fight your own battle. He's always said, I'll fight your battle with you. And he appeared scaringly. That's what he said in verse 14. Ha! Sword drawn in his hand, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. You know what he said? He said, art thou for me or against me? For he knew something was wrong. If this man showed up with a sword in his hand and he was from the other side, he had a problem. Joshua said, I've got a problem. So he said, are you for me or against me? Now listen, church. He said, hey, I'm not against you. Some people say, well, God must be against me. I keep having one trouble after the next trouble. I get on one thing. God must have something against me. No, God never has anything against us. You know what? He loves us and tries to use things to bring us back to where we need to be with him. Amen. Man, sure. You know something? Just when you need to tear down the wall, aren't you glad you don't have to do it by yourself?
Amen.
God says, I'll help you take it down. Oh, the appearing of a man. But you know, it's the same truth the man's announced. He didn't come to scare them. No, he had something to say. And here's what he said. He brought his helpfulness. Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. This man hadn't come to hurt Joshua. This man had come to help Joshua. Our Lord doesn't come to hurt us. Our Lord comes to help us.
Amen.
You'll never find anyone as helpful as our Lord.
Yeah.
You know something? Listen. When God walks on the sea in your life, when God walks on the sea, he doesn't come to take sides. He comes to take over.
Amen.
Oh, listen. When you say, all right, God, hey, I got a wall that needs to come down. I need your help, God. And when God comes, he didn't come to take sides with either side. Bless God, he comes to take over. And it's only when you let him take over that the wall can come down.
Amen.
Help involved in position. Here's what this man said. He said, I am captain of the host. This man had a position. He was not an everyday soldier. He was a captain. And he was going to be the person who was in charge of the battle. The captain. The captain. This man came to fight for and fight with and fight through Israel. He's here to fight for and fight with and fight through us. He was a captain. In an army that you can't ever see. Listen to this. To Abraham, he was a traveler. To Moses, he was a burning bush. To Joshua, he was a captain of the army.
Amen.
You know what? Listen. When you're getting ready to tear down the wall in your life and get where you need to be, and you want to get rid of pride and position and power, arrogance and all those attitudes and all those things, guess what? You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have just a puny soldier. Thank God you got a captain who comes to the side and says, up when we need him.
Amen.
It involved a position. It involved praise. He fell on his face to the earth. Joshua became a worshiper. He accepted the leadership of the captain and says, all right, I can't do this by myself. I've got to help you. And he fell on his face before this man and he gave him praise.
Amen.
I stand here today thanking God for everything he's done in my life. I stand here today and say, hallelujah. Thank God for, first of all, saving my soul. Thank God for keeping me whole. We'll sing about hallelujah. He's coming back.
Amen.
Personal preparation involves knowing that you have somebody. It involved work as well. Because of his worship, he was ready to work for this man. What saith my Lord unto his servant? What do you want me to do? You can't worship God and not want to serve God.
Amen.
You can flip-flop into this sanctuary all you want to on Sunday morning and look real good and go through the motions of singing our songs as Brother Tim leads us, listen to the special music, give him a dollar or two, but I've got news for you, unless you really worship God, and if you worship God, you want to work for God.
Amen, brother.
Church is more than sitting on your rear end saying praise the Lord every once in a while. Church is living for Jesus 7 days a week. Church is saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you realize everybody in here is gifted and talented? You're gifted in something and talented in something, and it's no chance by accident that God sent you this way, and God wants you to use your gifts, and God wants you to use your talents, and he wants you to be everything that he wants you to be, but yet some of you got the wall up of do nothing. Let me tell you something. Let God take the wall of do nothing down and get busy doing what God wants you to do.
Amen, brother.
Good preacher.
If everybody in the church would do what God's called them to do, we'd need no nominating committee, and nothing would ever go lacking. We wouldn't have to beg nobody and plead with nobody or listen to me. It's an honor and privilege to serve a risen, resurrected, soon returning Christ.
Amen.